We're all glory thieves at heart. From the moment we wake until we close our eyes at night, we battle an insidious tendency to place ourselves at the center of our personal universe. This glory addiction manifests in countless ways, from feeling irritated when inconvenienced at the grocery store to questioning God's goodness when life doesn't match our expectations. The fundamental problem isn't just that we sin, but that sin has rewired our entire operating system. Like a computer virus corrupting core files, sin has altered our basic programming. We've become experts at wearing the clothing of God's kingdom while serving our own. Our selfish motives masterfully disguise themselves as godly virtues. We call materialism good stewardship, control becomes leadership, anger transforms into righteous indignation. We genuinely believe we're serving God when we're actually serving ourselves. Like a chef who's lost his sense of taste but continues cooking, we've lost our ability to accurately discern our own motivations. Only God's illuminating grace can penetrate this self-deception. When His light breaks through, it's like dawn breaking over a dark landscape. Suddenly, we see what was always there but hidden from view. The stunning reality is that God doesn't wait for us to figure it out. His grace meets us in our blindness, offering not just forgiveness, but transformation. We all possess wandering hearts, seeking satisfaction in places that cannot provide it. When we ask created things to do what they weren't designed for, we get only short-term fulfillment, leaving us addicted rather than satisfied. We become like someone stopping at the Disney World highway sign instead of continuing to the actual destination. This misplaced quest appears when we look to marriages, jobs, people, and possessions to be our saviors. We say, if only I had blank, then my life would be blank, filling in the blanks with relationships, achievements, or possessions. When we worship creation instead of the Creator, we become spiritually disoriented. We weren't made for independence, but for life-giving connection to God. Christ came to liberate us from this addiction to lesser glories. Only when God occupies His rightful place can everything else fall into its proper place. Our hearts are battlegrounds between two incompatible kingdoms, one leading to the King of Kings, the other enthroning yourself. The kingdom of grace works to dethrone you, while your little kingdom seduces with empty promises. This conflict emerges when Jesus announces His death and the disciples argue about greatness, their self-centered kingdoms colliding with God's kingdom of glory and grace. This collision continues today as we want our kingdoms to come and our will to be done. Notice this war in your heart. When challenged, do you defend yourself or listen humbly? When plans change, do you respond with flexibility or frustration? These reactions reveal which kingdom you're serving. Jesus didn't come to improve our little kingdoms, but to welcome us by grace to a far better one. Remember, there is a king, but it isn't you. By grace alone, you've been granted entrance to His kingdom, purchased by the King's sacrifice. When life gets difficult, we often doubt God's goodness because we misunderstand His purpose. The messy, hard aspects that make us question God's faithfulness aren't failures of His plan. They are the plan itself. When we cry out for grace, we typically want relief, but what we truly need is transformation. Would you have developed patience without delay? Learned compassion without pain? Grown in humility without limitations? James tells us that God uses difficulties as tools to build character that wouldn't develop otherwise. Our trials aren't signs of divine unfaithfulness, but evidence of God's commitment to complete His work in us. These uncomfortable moments show God's commitment to our holiness, not His absence. What appears to be less love is actually more, God using difficulty to address our deepest problem, sin. The question isn't whether you'll face hardship, but how you'll interpret it. Many Christians understand salvation past, forgiveness through Christ's sacrifice, and salvation future, eternity with God, but overlook salvation present, the transformative benefits available now. Jesus died not just for your past and future, but for today's struggles, difficult conversations, workplace tensions, family dysfunction, temptation, and anxiety. Understanding your identity as God's child transforms your thinking. If God grants you complete acceptance even at your worst, why seek peace from imperfect humans? If He provides everything for your calling, why fear what's ahead? As God's child, Christ lives in you. He is with you, for you, and in you, making divine wisdom and strength available when facing difficult decisions, conflicts, or temptations. This indwelling presence offers hope beyond forgiveness. Someone with anxiety can find supernatural peace. A person struggling with addiction can experience freedom. A shy individual can speak boldly for truth. With Christ in you, you possess new potential that transforms your relationships and biggest dreams. Your walk with God is designed to be a community project, not an isolated Jesus and me experience. Biblical imagery of temple, joined stones, and body, interdependent members, refutes any notion that healthy faith can exist in isolation. Many believers separate their church personas from private lives, maintaining surface interactions while no one truly knows them beneath carefully crafted displays. We need intentionally intrusive, Christ-centered community to enlighten, protect, motivate, encourage, restore, confront, guide, and incarnate Christ's love. Corporate worship keeps believers both humble and thankful. In a world dismissing spiritual truths, gathering regularly reminds us of what truly matters. We forget who God is, our brokenness, our need for grace, and the war raging for our hearts. Notice how quickly your perspective shifts after days away from Christian community. Small compromises begin seeming reasonable. Frustrations grow into grievances. God designed us to need each other as a gift, not a burden. Through others' encouragement, accountability, and perspective, we experience grace unavailable to us alone. Life's sanctification battles can be discouraging, but God's mercies are new every morning. Though temptations and suffering surround us, God continues molding us into Christ's likeness. His steadfast love never ceases, and His mercies never end. This love is permanent. He'll never give up on you, walk away in disgust, or regret placing His love on you. His mercies are personal and concrete, meeting you exactly where you are with what you need, flowing from a renewable font of grace that will never run dry. We demonstrate daily that sin still lives within us through thoughtless words or selfish acts. Yet God comes to us in mercy, not because we're good, but because we're sinners, unable to help ourselves. This mercy comes in Jesus Christ, uniquely fashioned for each day's struggles. Imagine waking up knowing that fresh, tailor-made grace awaits you. Not recycled leftovers from yesterday, but new mercies perfectly suited for your challenges. This is the gospel's heartbeat, not earning God's favor through perfect performance, but His unending mercies meeting us in our deepest need.